and stomping ground.
Blog Talk Radio.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.
All right, we're back. My name is Jean Soufar Reef. And this is the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. Now, if you're a new caller, and perhaps you're wondering what this is about, it's about an intensified study. This is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. It's helping you direct you into critical analysis and assessment, taking a lead and follow it to its bitter end, and maybe good end, for that matter. teaching you to analyze the characteristics of the people that you're studying in reference to, Abraham, Isaac, Esau, and so on and so forth. It teaches you to get some idea about these people, their character, because the reason why we try to do that, because we realize, for some of you, in your so-called black culture, you don't have any culture at all. That's why you do what you do. That's why you become a monstrosity among nations, a byword, hissing it, because you don't know your heritage. You don't know your culture. You don't know how to emulate your culture. You emulate every old tacky, old trashy, old terroristic mess, and that's why you've been reduced to a monstrosity. By way of these studies, we helped you to tap into who you are, what you are, and what you should be doing, virtually becoming a rock you were hewn from or the ditch you were dug from by virtue of Abraham and Isaac and so on and so forth in our studies. So this is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. I feel good about it. No, you need to feel about it in the sense that it helps you to change your dynamics, a paradigm shift, so to speak, so you can become who you're supposed to be. Because you don't know who you are or who you're supposed to be, you become institutionalized, just like in any good prison. We become so used, speaking from a suit point of view, take an ex-food point of view. Perhaps you've been locked up for so long in an inner prison, you've accepted violence, you've accepted mistreatment, you've accepted abuse, you accepted domination. And on the outer prisons, which we live in these so-called glamorized ghettos, we have become institutionalized. That's why you see so much violence, so much mistreatment, so much abuse, and so-called domination, because we have been directed by the dominant culture to do these very things because they do them. So you figure, I hate what remotely looks like me, so I should do them too. Not knowing that the Most High sees each of us in his eyes as something precious. So be that as it may, it's imperative for you to get these studies right so you can become the people that you were meant to be. Yes, you are a monstrosity if you look anything remotely like me, especially if you're not following the Most High word and letting him direct and order yourself. You cannot be anything other than a monstrosity. And that's just the way you're institutionalized. You think our so-called ghettos is culture. You say, oh, man, that's our culture. Come on now. That's what we do. Man, you are a hot mess. Each and every one of you are a hot mess. There's no culture to speak of, nothing valuable to speak of, nothing uplifting to speak of. That's not culture. That's a hot mess. We've been reduced to a monstrosity in these so-called glamorized black neighborhoods that we hold on to dear life, refusing to try to learn who you are. Refusing to try to examine who you are. Refusing to try to see the rock you were hewn from and the ditch you were dug from. Refusing to study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, it's imperative that we get these studies right and learn to apply these studies in our life so we can have some real culture. Not so-called black, dark, forbidding, gloomy. Yes, it's true. Culture. Black, dark, gloomy. Forbidding culture. And we glamorize it. A hot mess. Praise y'all. But be that as may, it ain't got to be this way. It don't have to be this way. See, this is by choice, not by force. Now, if you really want to change, do like Michael Jackson said, alluded to in the song. Start with the man and the woman in the mirror, asking them to change their way by virtue of their studies of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by virtue of their study, as far as Abraham is concerned, Sarah is concerned, Isaac is concerned, Rebecca is concerned, and so on and so forth. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. And perhaps you're wondering, rightfully so, Yom Su, who are the we you're making reference to? Well, I'm making reference to Sister Aviyah from New York City and Cartrell from New York City. And you may ask again, foolhardy, Yom Su, what are the educational and who are they connected with? I don't give a damn about what their education is. And you shouldn't either. But what you should value is wisdom and understanding. The Most High says, seek Seek that. And they're seeking that. It's more precious than ruby. He didn't say about no college education. It's good enough for the LOM. It's good enough for me. And who are they connected to? Oh, they're not. They don't get into that. Who they know and all that kind of mess. But who they're really connected to is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, which should place value on their conversation, their information. That's good enough for me. And certainly it should be good enough for you. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Let me bring him on for you. Sister Abiyah, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family, and all praises and glory to Yah. And may Yah continue to bless us all. Good to be back, as always, and shalom.
Good to have you back, sister, and shalom. You ain't going nowhere, Brother Katya. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Most High bless you all well, as well. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Good to be back.
Good to have you back, brother. Good to have you back.
Mm-hmm. Everybody good?
Yes, sir. Everybody good.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting on you to say something. You know you're going to say something.
I ain't got much to say, but she was saying the inside prison sounds like the outside prison.
Now, say that again. Say that again, my brother.
You said we socially engineered a condition. And you
right.
gave the example of being in prison and them accepting
right.
the violence and the oppression and the conditions that are in there.
Right.
My thing is that the inside sound like the outside.
They are virtually. They are virtually. both ways. Institutionalized.
Yeah. No escaping it.
No escaping it, brother. Well, Cottrell, Sister Abiyah, and fellow students, we're here for one thing, and that's to get the LOM's word so we can match it up and so we can apply it to our life so we can have some real culture to speak of. Not this black, gloomy, dark culture. I mean, yeah, if I didn't laugh, I'd cry, Cottrell. The so-called black culture.
Well, you got to call it something.
You got to call it something. Okay. Chapter 28 of Bereshit. Some of you call it Genesis. That is not the original name. That's a Greek plagiarism. Stealing, however you want to say it. Y'all say it when they conquer people, they take their stuff, they rename it and everything. Even they put their names on the cities. So don't come as a surprise that it's called Genesis. Because when these people take stuff, they take everything, they think they can rename it. But the original name is Bereshit, meaning in the beginning, in the mind of Yah, the brought to you by Moses the prophet. Praise Yah. Chapter 28. And mind you, when we're studying this, and we're studying individuals, study their characteristic, glean from their characteristic. Thus, you can become the rock you were hewn from or the ditch you were dug from. And that's how you can have real culture. That's why you can go back to ancient times and emulate those characteristics and have culture that you can value. You know, not culture that you steal people wise, you cheat on people, you lie to people, you take people's stuff, you're selling drugs to the neighborhood, you're selling the women in the neighborhood. That's not no culture, man. It's nothing to be applauding the so-called black doomy culture. Ooh-wee, okay. All right. Then Isaac called Yaakov and blessed him and charged him. Said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of the Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May Yah Almighty bless you, and may you be fruitful and multiply, and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, real culture, that you may inherit the earth. which you are a stranger. We are a stranger. We were a stranger then. We certainly are a stranger now in this Western Hemisphere, which Yah gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paran Aram to Laban, his uncle, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. So Esau's trying to placate his father because his father didn't take kindly nor his mother of him marrying Canaanite women. So he trying to placate his father and mother. Here's what he do, which really didn't remedy the situation. He still had these Canaanite women. So he goes to his uncle, Ishmael. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paran Aram to take himself a wife from there, from his kind. And that is, he blessed him and gave charge to him, saying, you should not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. So he's feeling somewhat exposed by his marriage to these women. And so he tries to placate the matter. And that Jacob had obeyed his father. He simply should have obeyed his father and his mother and gone to Paran Aram. Also, Esau saw the daughter of Canaan did not please his father, Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael, his uncle, and took Mahala, the daughter of Ishmael, his first cousin, Abraham's son, the sister of Nabajah, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. He didn't get rid of the trouble he had. He only added a compounded on the trouble because by lineage, Ishmael really didn't have that connection with Esau other than the fact that they were both born of the same father. They didn't have two different mothers. So in effect, he didn't actually marry someone connected to the kindred of that family, of Isaac, of Rebekah, but he thought it would placate Isaac by marrying his brother's daughter. But she still was not kind. So he didn't solve the problem. He only added, compounded upon the problem. That's what we always do. We always, hold on, Contra. We always try to put a bandage on the situation. Go ahead.
Ishmael is Esau's cousin by way of Abraham.
Okay, that's okay, okay. Hold on. Wait just a minute. Ishmael. Okay.
Is Esau's cousin. It's like he's Jacob's cousin, our cousin.
Right.
Esau and Jacob are brothers.
Okay. Esau and Jacob. Right. I'm going back in my mind. My mind's out.
Isaac and Ishmael are brothers.
Right.
Esau's father and Ishmael is Esau's uncle.
Well, that makes Ishmael Isaac's uncle, as I said.
No. Ishmael's Isaac's brother.
Okay, hold on. Ishmael is Esau's uncle.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I said. Esau is Ishmael's uncle. So he goes and marries his first cousin and think that remedies the situation. But they have two brothers. Ishmael has a different mother. And Isaac has a different mother. So that doesn't remedy the situation. It goes not back to the rock that hewn him, nor the ditch he would duck from.
They're the same family, though.
Yep. For all intents and purposes, they are.
Like you said, Esau married his cousins.
Mm-hmm.
The daughters of Ishmael, those are his cousins.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you, Cottrell. Jacob's vow at Bethuel. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba as instructed by his father and mother and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. He took one of the stones of the place and put it at his head as a pillow. He lay down in that place to sleep. And when he dreamed, behold, a ladder was set up on the earth in that dream. And he sees, and its top reached to heaven. And there was the angel of the Elohim were ascending and descending upon that ladder. And behold, the Elohim stood above it and said, I am Yah, Elohim of Abraham, your father, the Elohim of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. We are many. You shall spread abroad, which we have been, by virtue of universal captivity, to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Not by universal white race supremacy, but real blessings by virtue of us. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you, until I have kept my vow to you. Then Yaakov awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Elohim is in this place. I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of the Elohim. And this is the gate of heaven, because he saw those angels coming to and fro on the earth, taking care of the Elohim's business. When Yaakov rose early in the morning, he took the stone that he used as a pillow and set it as a pillow and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethuel, like some of these folk call their churches that don't know the Elohim. The Baptist Church of Bethuel, but they don't know what they're talking about. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Yaakov made a vow, saying, if Yah will be with me and keep me in this way, that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. That's all. He didn't ask for a record career. He didn't ask for a big fancy house. He didn't ask for a lot of money. He didn't ask for a lot of friends. He asked for simple things. And that's good character. He said, if he do that, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Elohim shall be, Yah shall be my Elohim, and this stone which I have set as a pillow shall be Yah's house. And all that you give me, I surely will give a tenth to you. Speaking to Yah, he made that vow. And you will find out later on in our studies that this characteristic man that didn't ask for a whole lot, he didn't ask for riches, he didn't ask for followings, he didn't ask for a beautiful wife, he didn't ask for money, he didn't ask for anything. He just asked, he's a man of humble origins. Like, we need to humble ourselves, asking the Elohim for everything and then some. Humble yourself and learn to ask for simple things. Not that the Elohim can't give you, but it shows something about your character. He didn't ask to be popular. He didn't ask to be famous. He just asked to be a humble man. Food, clothing, peace. And that's real culture. The ditch you were dug from and the pit, rock you were hewn from, that's real culture. And we need to emulate real culture. To become people that are acceptable to the Elohim, Yah. And that, evidently, Yaakov had this humility about himself that the Most High appreciated. And he kept his vow. You'll see later on as we continue our studies. Make sure when you make a vow to the Elohim that you keep your vows. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Contrail, Sister Avia. Y'all have the mics. May the Most High bless you.
Yes, sir. We see that the Most High actually came to Jacob first in his dream. And in his dream, he realized that the Most High was with him, which is the greatest blessing that he could have got. And in the dream, the Most High says to him, behold, I am Yah, the Elohim of Abraham, your father, Elohim of Isaac, I will give you the land you lie on, and to you and to your offspring, to also will be as a vessel of the earth, and you will spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. In you and in your offsprings, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Behold, I am with you. That's the greatest blessing in the earth.
Exactly.
And Yah is with you and will keep
exactly.
you. Not only is with you, but he's going to keep you wherever you go and will bring you again to this land, which is telling him that you're about to leave this land and come back. For I will not leave you until you have done that which I have spoken to you of. So to have that guarantee, that reassurance, and he woke up out of his sleep and said, surely I know Yah is in this place, and I didn't know it. So the Most High was speaking to him through his dreams. And sometimes the Most High will do that. He was able to actualize and realize and interpret his own dream. He realized that the Most High was here, and the Most High really put fear of him in Yaakov. And it says he was afraid. Jacob was afraid. And he said, how awesome this place is. This is none other than Elohim's house and the gate of heaven. That's an amazing thing to discover. But then he makes a vow to the Most High. He said, if Yah will be with me, like he said he's going to be, it will keep me in the way that I should go. It will give me bread to eat. Simple. I just want something to eat and just put clothes on my back. That I come again to my father's house in peace, and Yah will be my Elohim. Then the stone which I have set up as a pillar will be Elohim's house. And out of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth. So you show his commitment to the Most High and the Most High's commitment to him. And when you give your word, you got to keep your word.
Exactly.
Yah kept his word, and my father Jacob kept his word. All praises.
All praises.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Zaviya, any comments?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Well, thank you, Zaviya. Katriel, we're about to conclude relationships for as men and women, constructive and positive relationship, how they look like, for as the spoken word is concerned, and the Songs of Solomon. After this, Katriel, where will you be proceeding in the next series of studies?
We go back to the Book of Psalms.
Sounds like a winner, my brother. Sounds like a winner. Praise Yah. Well, Katriel, we're ready and waiting for you to bring to us the relationships between a man and a woman, how you should voice yourselves constructively. Now, that's culture. That's culture right there. That's culture you can speak volumes about, real culture, not this black, doomy, gloomy, dark, ghetto fabulous culture. Okay? Thank you, Katriel.
Well, actually, Yamsu, making beautiful songs is a part of our people's culture. It's just
right.
been tampered with and pointed in the wrong direction.
Exactly.
But it is, in fact, a signature of who we are as a people, because we do love to make songs. We
right.
are poets, and we can
right.
see it, you know, coming from our ancient fathers. That fact.
Yeah, we just use the wrong type words, Katja. You're right. Well, we are a maker of music. But we've lost the constructiveness in the making of the music. And we need to get back to that. We need to get back to the rock we were hewn from and the dish we were dug for, real culture, by virtue of our word usage. Thank you, Katriel.
Yes, sir. And even our music. We're very known for our music. Even back in ancient time when we was in Babylon, the
right.
Babylonians were telling us to sing the songs of the Most High. And it was like,
right.
how can we sing the songs of the Most High in a strange land?
Right.
But we went on to sing anyway. So the Israelites, children of Israel, the nation of Israel, is known for their music back then and even now.
Truth be told, Katriel, I mean, recently when we were forced to sing songs on those plantations down south, we made good music.
And what was we singing about, Yamsu?
The Most High.
The children
the
of Israel.
High. Yeah.
Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. You know that song?
Yeah, I know it, brother.
It was, They wasn't reading the Bible either. You couldn't read, couldn't read the Bible. You couldn't go to church. How they know about Moses and Pharaoh?
Somebody told them.
Oh, they
somebody.
Already knew.
They already knew.
Oh, yeah. So we in the Song of King Solomon, chapter 8. Want to hear it? Here you go. Verse 1. Oh, that you were like my brother, she says, who nursed from the breast of my mother. If I found you outside, I would kiss you. Yes, and no one would despise me. I would lead you, bring you to the house of my mother, who would instruct me. I would have you drink spiced wine. Okay. Of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand would be under my head. His right hand would embrace me. I adjure you, daughters of Jerusalem, that you not stir up nor awaken love until his soul desires. Sound like a Diana Ross song, right?
Yep.
No, you can't hurry love. Oh, you just have to wait. Because love don't come easy. It's a game of giving take. How long must I wait? How much more can I take? Yeah, you got to wait for love. You can't force love. You don't want to force love. You want love to be love when it comes.
Exactly. A mutual exchange of feeling.
Yes. Who is this who comes up from the wilderness, leaning over her beloved? Under the apple tree, I awakened you. There, your mother conceived you. There, she was in labor and bore you. Set me as a seal in your heart, as a seal in your arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is as cruel as Sheol. It flashes, are flashes of fire. A very flame of Yah. Oh, yeah, we know about Yah's jealousy. And jealousy is cruel, ain't it?
Yep.
It says love is strong as death. True love is strong as death? Wow.
Yep.
That's real strong. Many waters can't quench love. Yeah, that's why you got songs like Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep me from you. Right?
Exactly.
Water can't quench love. You could throw water on a hot couple, they still gonna stay a hot couple.
Can't put it out.
Can flood sun. Oh no. Once that flame is lit. If a man would give all the wealth of his house for love, he would be utterly scorned. Yeah, money can't buy love. Can't buy me love. Money can't buy me love.
Sure can't. Right? Sure can't.
This is the brother of the sister. We have a little sister. She has no breasts. Oh, my goodness. What shall we do to our sister in a day when she is to be spoken for? If she is a wall, we will build a wall on a turret of silver. If she's a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. Or they want to protect her from all the wolves out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can't protect her from the king, though. But you see how they try to diminish their little sister. She ain't got no breasts. Why are you looking
right.
at her?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Here's her response. I'm a wall. You ain't got to build a wall around me. And my breasts, they like towers. What y'all talking about? Then I was in his eyes like one who found peace. King Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. King Solomon had a what? He was a gardener. He was a farmer. Okay. He leased out the vineyard to keepers. Each was to bring 1,000 shekels of silver for its fruit. My own vineyard is before me. The thousands are for you, King Solomon. 200 for those who tend its fruit. So the fruit that King Solomon's vineyard is producing was very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You who dwell in the gardens with friends in attendance, let me hear your voice. And she says, come away, my beloved. Be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spice. She want to run away with him and be
mm-hmm.
alone. That's the end of this song. And you see, there's a lot of references to gardening and farming and vineyards and them cultivating the land, how it really meshed with their love life.
Mm-hmm.
So, living in the city, we don't understand that. Maybe if we was farmers, we'd have a better understanding of how they're expressing themselves here.
Mm-hmm.
But true love is hard to find.
It certainly is.
Find it, and fire is hard to put out.
Mm-hmm. And it's be expressive as far as our culture is concerned. Be expressive. Don't be stoic. As far as the women are concerned, as far as the men are concerned, express that love in wordage. Become wordsmiths in expression of love. Because right now we are just a monstrosity because we don't know how to express ourselves and using words, wordage, and to put it into the ethos so it can come back for you. So learn to express it in the right manner because we use words, but they're not anything that is constructive and a positive for as love is concerned. Praise Yah and bless His holy name. Thank you, Contrail.
Yes, but don't wait till Valentine's Day to give her a box of chocolate and some roses.
Yeah, because the rest of the days you're hitting in the ad calling her dirty old names. Mm-mm, don't do that. And the same goes for you too, sisters. Don't spend the rest of the all year cussing her out and you cussing him out, calling each other dirty, ugly names, and then you wait to one particular day that they told you to define your love by way of some chocolates, like Forrest got some chocolates, or by virtue of some flowers and so on. Be that way every day. Not one day that they have defined for you to make that expression. And you don't even make the words. You just get a card that somebody has to roll up the words, and you give it to that to her or him as an expression of your love. If you're going to give her something, write the words at least and do it every day, not one day that's defined by this Western Hemisphere, this daughter of Babylon. Now, be like us. Be like Abraham. Be like Sarah, the expression of love. And it wasn't no one day a year by definition of the Canaanites, either. Okay?
Well, Doing it every day might get a little expensive. Doing it often might be better.
Right. Exactly. Put it into your words. Because you know her or you know him. Go ahead, Sosadia.
But you know, it don't have to be expensive sharing your love.
Right.
You know, I don't see why it has to be expensive if it's coming from your heart, the words alone, if you speak it every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the person, or to just share your love as much as you can. That's what I practice every day. I don't let a day go by without me telling somebody I love them, especially family, my close ones.
Right.
And that comes from the heart. It doesn't cost you money for doing that. And for us, our people, it shouldn't be hard to reach down in their soul and find true love for the way y'all have found love for us.
Well, I agree with you on that, Sustavia. I mean, to put together words that are constructive and positive in any person regard, and to tell them that you love them, you hold them high esteem and value, it doesn't cost you nothing at this.
That's right.
And what's better than telling them that you love them? Showing them that you love them every day.
Exactly.
That's
much better.
Right. That's right.
Saying
help all you can when they need the help. It's a lot of ways of showing love without without being expensive. You can even go out and help somebody. That's sharing love.
Yep. We just simply got to get our priorities right to pull out our real culture. And I want you to see our culture, but you got to look hard to find it because they've taken it away from us. So we got to stop going in this Western Hemisphere, this daughter of Babylon, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results with this so-called black culture. All right. Thank you, Katria. Thank you, Sister Abia. And thank you, fellow students. We're going to get ready to get out of here, but Katria is going to go right back over. I know this may sound redundant to you, But you ain't learned all this stuff. Okay? And you need to know as much as you possibly can and then some. So the redundancy is needed because the redundancy of taking away our culture, taking away our heritage, taking away our name, taking away our Elohim Yah has been an ongoing process. So what we do is an ongoing reversal process. And it's much needed. It is imperative. Just look at it. Look at us. The evidence doesn't lie. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Katriel, Sister Abia, you'd like to say some closing remarks and our shalom's?
All I have to say is put Yah first. Love Yah first. And then you'll learn how to love others. And Yah will supply you with all your needs. And to keep on talking about love, I love you, brothers. And I love you, family.
We love you, too.
Long good night.
We love you, family.
God, yes, we love you, too, Sister Avia. From Yamsu.
Thank you,
love
brother.
Love the Most High as well. And what Sister Avia said is the real key. That's what our ancient fathers learned, to love the Most High and to be in contact and prayer with him. Which is why the book of Psalms is important, because we know we don't pray every day or often enough. But our ancient fathers did, and that's what made them closer to the Most High. And we know that Ishmael, he prays 3 times a day. So praying should not be redundant. It should be a habit, like brushing our teeth. So you're going to go back into the book of Psalms to get practice on how to reconnect with the Most High. And it shouldn't feel redundant at all. It should feel exhilarating and revitalizing and refreshing, because we need our spiritual bank account built up. So give thanks to the Most High that gives us the opportunity to do this. Thank you, Yamsu, for providing the platform for this. We hope that it benefits all of us who's trying to get that spiritual healing from the Most High. Shalom and good night.
Thank you, brother. Shalom and good night. Love you too, Katriel. We love you too, fellow students. And most important, we love the Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And we love the people, our ancient ones, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, soon to be Rebecca, Leah, Rebecca, Isaac's wife, and so on, Queen Esther, Mordecai, King Dawud, King Solomon, Samson, and so on and so forth. We love our kind because that's our heritage. That is our culture. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. And learn to love each other. Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Set of rules, I'm amazed.